Welcome to Progress by Design, where ambitious and sensitive women turn their potential into progress. Merging psychology, self-development, and the design thinking process, I help you get out of your own way and take messy, imperfect action towards your extraordinary empire. I'm your host, Emma Norris, and I am obsessed with helping ADHD, highly sensitive women, and other underdogs become fully actualized and unlock the alpha badass that has always been inside them. I'm an author, writer, psychology graduate, self-leadership coach, and transformation strategist. I'm also proudly neurodivergent myself, and I can't wait to share with you what I've learned throughout my own journey from self-doubting procrastinator to authentically aligned action taker. Are you ready to become the best version of yourself and design a life, career, business, and habits that feel good for you? You're in the right place. Let's get into the episode.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to the Progress by Design podcast. I hope everything is wonderful in your world at the moment. So today we are talking about something that is a lot more fun to talk about than it is to actually do, and that is study. Or more specifically, the decision to go back and study when you're an adult, or at least not just a teenager. Here in Australia, we call this uni or university. So that's mostly what I'll be referring to it as throughout this episode. I know in America, they call it college or they might call it school. But yeah, basically we are talking about tertiary education. And interestingly, I find that a lot of people that I talk to, like my coaching clients, people in my audience, people who listen to the show, fellow neurodivergent people, I find that a lot are either studying on their third or fourth degree, some even doing PhDs, or are seriously thinking about going back to study. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I find that neurodivergent people tend to be lifelong learners. Like, we're just curious and we love to learn about new things. But I think also there's the side of ADHD that is constantly chasing new ideas and thinking about different career paths and reinventing our lives that goes hand in hand with going back to study. And I actually find that going back to study, or even just studying in the first place, can be a really powerful way to take ownership of your career and change the trajectory of your life for the better. And we're really lucky here in Australia in that going to uni is quite accessible. So I know in America, the situation around paying for college is pretty insane. You're either paying for it up front, or your parents are paying for it, or you're making sky-high student loan payments, you know, the second you start earning money, and that can take decades just to pay that off. Here in Australia, it's a little bit different. We have a system called Help Debt or HEX Debt. And this is a student loan that you're accruing to study, but you're not paying for it out of pocket per se. It's known as a debt that dies with you, which is a lot less morbid than it sounds. And basically what it means is that you're not liable to pay for it by a certain amount of time. You have an indefinite amount of time to pay it off, and it just comes automatically out of your tax once you start earning over a certain threshold. The debt does go up incrementally with rising interest rates if you don't pay it off early. But again, there's just a lot less pressure to pay it off by a certain point. There are limits on how much you can accrue for your help debt. I will say that I'm almost at the limit of what you can use for that, which is a combination of me starting 4 different degrees, which I'm going to talk about in a bit, and also being self-employed and not necessarily having it come out of my tax automatically all the time. I believe the limit is about $150,000, but yeah, it's quite generous, and we're very lucky to have a system that allows people from all different social, cultural, and economic backgrounds to study. It really levels the playing field in a way that I don't know a lot about the US situation, but I get the impression that that's not really the case in the US, and that studying is a bit of a privilege just for the elite, which is unfortunate. We also have a lot of scholarship programs here that are available as well. There's just a lot more freedom and flexibility in that regard. That said, even here, I think the decision to go back to study is a big one. Studying, whether it's part-time or full-time, does take a lot of your time and energy. So really, I just wanted to have a think about when going back to study actually is a good career move. I'm going to share a little bit of my personal journey with studying, because like I said, I have had quite a few attempts. I've started quite a few different degrees with varying degrees pun intended, of success. So yeah, I'm going to share a little bit about what I've learned throughout my journey and what that looks like. And then I'm also going to share the top three questions I think you should ask yourself if you are considering going back to study. As I mentioned, my own personal journey with studying has had a lot of ups and downs, a lot of failures and non-starters, but also a lot of success, a lot of things I'm really proud of, and a lot of learnings. So I studied a Bachelor of Media and Journalism straight out of uni. I didn't take a gap year or anything. I just went straight from high school to university. I think because that's what all my friends were doing. Studying journalism was a bit of a no-brainer for me. I had always loved writing at school. I was always very creative and I was obsessed with magazines. I knew I wanted to go into working in magazines. So journalism was just an obvious choice. I think it was between that and maybe like a creative arts degree. But yeah, it was my first preference. I got in. And uni the first time around for me was just okay. I remember being quite bored with what I was learning, a bit disinterested. And I don't know if this was just my, at the time, undiagnosed ADHD, which was the issue. To be honest, I was a pretty mediocre student. I feel like I only sometimes came to lectures and tutorials. I would be very distracted in class. I would leave all my assignments to the last minute, which I still have a habit of doing, but I was very much just of the mindset, P's get degrees, as in you just have to pass. So I feel like I wouldn't put that much effort into my assignments, which is weird because I was quite a highly strung, quite ambitious student at high school. But I feel like this is quite a turning point for me, and that I lived on campus for the second year of my degree. I was out of home for the first time. The drinking age in Australia is 18, so this really coincided with this time. I was just way more interested in going out with my friends than I was in studying. So I did okay most of my assignments. I think I only really got a handful of distinctions or high distinctions the whole 3 years that I was doing it. I've shared about this a fair bit, the fact that I stuffed up my enrollment and ended up having to graduate late without the rest of my class, which was a bit annoying. I had to go and do some extra summer school subjects. But to sum it up, I didn't hate it and it was just okay. And I did just okay. Definitely wasn't a star student or anything, but managed to pass. And then for some reason after that, I decided to sign up and do a master's straight after I finished my bachelor. And like I said, I have no idea why, because I knew that I really wanted to go into print journalism, but I applied to do a master's of PR and advertising. I think I was quite interested in the advertising industry, and to be honest, it is still an industry that really fascinates me, but I definitely had no interest in PR. And honestly, I don't know, one of my good friends was studying it and she ended up studying it and seeing it all the way through and doing really well at it. But I feel like it was just something to do, and at this point I was applying for a lot of jobs and not really getting anywhere, so I was like, okay, I'll just keep going with uni. I think I was really only a month in, and again, not very engaged in what I was doing, when I got an offer to work as an assistant picture editor at a weekly magazine, which I had been interning at. So almost immediately I dropped this master's degree like it was hot, because the job was full time, and even though it was a master's for postgraduate student, the degree required a lot of in-person attendance, and that was just not gonna work. I just decided it was more important to advance my career and to start actually working than to keep studying at this point. So yeah, I dropped it in the first semester and that was that. So fast forward to a few years later and I'm working at an online wellness publication. And at this point, I become really interested in health and fitness and nutrition. I think at this point, I started to feel a little bit more settled in my career. I had been writing for a few years now and I started to get the itch to study again. So I looked around at a few courses and I ended up settling on, I believe it was a diploma in nutrition. This was through, I think you would call it like a college or a private college, but this was my first attempt at online study. So I was working full time at the time, and this degree was also full time, but being me, I was like, oh, it can't be that hard to balance the two. So being that it was a full time degree, I did have to do 3 or 4 subjects at a time, and it was all online. In my degrees after this, I ended up really loving online study, but I think I realized how overwhelming it was to study online full-time and work full-time. You have to be really disciplined and self-motivated to stay on track with everything. You don't have in-person lectures and tutorials that really keep you on track with the deadlines for your assignments. And the stuff I was learning was really interesting. I would say it was harder than I anticipated. Turns out there's actually a lot of science and biology involved in nutrition. Who would have thought? But I just ended up getting really overwhelmed by the workload and trying to balance that. So I don't think I even ended up submitting my first assignment. I think I ended up deferring or dropping out within the first couple of weeks. And I remember being quite disappointed in myself at the time, that after the previous attempt with the masters, I started to feel like, why can I just not follow through in doing postgraduate study? But again, I suppose I put my career first, which was the right choice at the time. And I think it was the right choice overall. I don't know. I'm still interested in nutrition, I suppose, but nowhere near as interested in it as I was like 5 years ago. So I don't think I would have ended up using it, to be honest. And I think after those 2 attempts, I wrote off the idea of going back to do postgraduate study for quite a while. I think I figured that I just wasn't going to be able to balance it with work so long as I had a full-time job, and that it just wasn't the right thing for me at that point in time. Fast forward to 2020, the start of the COVID situation really kicking off. We're all at home a lot more. We all have more time on our hands. I'm sure uni enrollment just absolutely skyrocketed at this time. So many people doing COVID degrees. But by this point, I'm really interested in self-development. I had already done a coaching certification in life coaching specifically, and I'm just really interested in human behavior and the human brain, and I always had been, but it was never really something that I thought about going back to study. I had done some psychology units as part of my first degree, and for some reason it just really didn't interest me at the time. So at this point I had decided that I really wanted to work with clients in a coaching capacity, and I had done my coaching certification, but I really wanted more credibility and knowledge to back it up. So I started looking around at psychology degrees, and I ended up finding out that you could do a graduate diploma in psychology so long as you had a bachelor's degree, which I did, which was the equivalent of a 3-year psychology degree condensed into 1.5 years part-time. And I was like, what else am I doing? We didn't know how long the COVID situation was going to go on for. So I was like, why not? I think I was freelancing or maybe just working part-time at the time. I was quite well established in my career at that time, and I was going through a really real turning point from a writer to a self-development professional. So it just seemed like the perfect time, and the way it was structured really appealed to me too. It was all online, like the nutrition degree that I'd started, but it was just one subject at a time. Because it's 3 years accelerated into 1.5 years, it is very intensive. You do one subject at a time for 6 weeks at a time. You have 2 assignments during that period and a quiz every week. So it's very full on when you're in those 6-week periods, but something about just being able to focus on one at a time just really appealed to me. And this degree ended up being the perfect choice for where I was at that point in time. I really enjoyed it. I found it super interesting. There were subjects that I didn't love, like statistics, but overall I was really interested in the content. I ended up doing really well, a lot better than I did at my first degree. I think it was a combination of just being more interested in the subject material, having a lot more experience in writing. I had been writing for 10 years, which makes writing essays for uni a lot easier. And also just the fact that I didn't actually end up getting diagnosed with ADHD until like halfway through this degree, but at this point I had an understanding of my own brain and knew how to motivate myself to get stuff done. I knew the productivity methods that work for me, and yes, I did still leave part of my assignments to the last minute, but I just understood my own strengths and limitations in a much deeper way. And yeah, that allowed me to perform much better. I only got one credit throughout the whole course. Everything else were distinctions and high distinctions. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with the degree. And to be honest, I still don't know. So if you know anything about psychology, it is a long road to be a registered psychologist. You have to do either a 3-year degree or the 1.5-year accelerated grad diploma like I did. But then after that, you have to do a year of honours, and then you have to do a master's degree or get practical hands-on work experience just to be able to call yourself a psychologist. I haven't ruled that out, but I also hadn't quite decided on what to do with it. There's a lot of different paths you can go down as a psychologist. You could be a coaching psychologist. You can be a clinical psychologist and work with patients in a clinic. You could become a therapist. Lots of different options, and haven't fully figured out what that looks like for me. But it really opened a lot of doors for me and gave me so much more knowledge and credibility that doesn't always exist in the coaching industry. You get a lot of people just spouting off pseudoscience and fluff, and I feel like this really is a big thing that sets me apart, actually having a deep understanding of how the human brain works from the inside out. So that ended up being a really amazing and aligned decision. And I found through doing that for a year and a half, it ended up being 2 years because I took a couple of breaks. I did find that was needed because it was quite intensive, and if I ended up getting a full-time job in that time as well. I took a couple of hex semesters off, but yeah, it took about 2 years all up. And I just found that doing that just really gave me the momentum to keep studying. I had the taste for it. I realized that it's something that I'm interested in. Uni becomes a lot easier for me. So I was like, why not keep it going? I looked around at a lot of different pathways in psychology and different things that I could do afterwards. But I really wanted something that I could apply to the work that I'm doing every day, and areas that I'm really interested in, like business and innovation and that kind of thing, like how you can apply psychology to a business setting. So, but I also wanted to continue to progress. I had started that master's degree straight after uni and obviously dropped out, and I was like, I would love to pursue a master's. So that is what I'm doing. At the moment, I am enrolled in a master's of business psychology, also an online distance degree at a uni in Western Australia, all online, done intensive in I think 8-week blocks. And yeah, so that is a master's of business psychology. I get a lot of units from my last degree credited towards this one, which means that I can finish it up in about 1 year. Yeah, so far I'm quite liking it. It has more of a HR kind of spin than I necessarily anticipated. It's all about how understanding the human brain can increase performance and engagement in workplaces. And yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. So me being me, and I have about 10 other degrees that I would love to do at some point, and I'll probably be just like my dad, who is in his 70s and is still studying, like just a lifelong learner. But my plan, all going well after this master's, is to hopefully do a PhD in psychology at the same uni, hopefully online, because yeah, I have plans to travel in the next few years, but I'd love to keep going with it, keep building my knowledge. So yeah, that has been my personal journey with postgraduate study. As you can hear, it has not been a straightforward linear path, but I've learned a lot, and hopefully you can learn from some of my what not to do's as well. I just think it's amazing that these days there is a degree for pretty much anything. I've seen everything from like race car engineering to Web3 to UX. There are some really specific degrees in there. Like basically anything you want to pursue is at your fingertips. And I think that is amazing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that going back to study and doing a full university degree is always the best choice for everyone at every point in time. That's not to say don't pursue things, and it's not like it's a choice that you can't get out of. Maybe this varies from country to country. But in Australia, it's relatively easy to defer or to drop out as long as it's before the census date, which is like a date, I think a couple of weeks into the semester. So if you drop out before then you don't get charged or it doesn't go on your hex debt. I'm not sure what that's like in other places. My point is, it's not like it has to be this like make or break decision. You can try things, you can explore things, and if it's not for you, it's not for you. But that said, I think there are three important questions you should ask yourself if you are considering going back to study. So the first question is this desire coming from my ego or my brain? And by that I mean, I think there are some degrees that sound just quite flashy and impressive on a resume or on our LinkedIn, or even just to say in person, like, oh, I did a master's in this, I did a diploma in that. And that's fine. I am not against doing things for credibility. I just find for me, the attempts where that was really my motivator were the times that I weren't able to follow through on it. For example, I think at the time I just thought a master's in PR and advertising or being a nutritionist sounded really impressive. But I don't think it was coming from a genuine passion and desire to learn more about that subject. And that meant that the second that it got hard, I didn't want to do it anymore. Whereas with psychology, I knew that it was going to be a long road before I would ever be able to consider calling myself a psychologist, and that I'm not there yet. But I was so genuinely interested in the subject matter that I didn't care. I was happy to do it for the sake of learning about that thing and being able to apply it in a more unofficial sense. It was both a pragmatic decision in that I knew I would be able to apply it in a lot of different ways, that it would genuinely be practical to what I was already doing. But it was also from my heart and my passion. I was genuinely super curious about what I was learning and had a desire to help people through psychology. Look, we all have egos, and there's nothing wrong with doing things that I guess appeal to our ego. But I find that when we are motivated in this way, it's just hard to stay the course when things inevitably get challenging or aren't fun. And I feel like this would be especially true of doing PhDs. I could definitely see a lot of people considering doing a PhD because, let's be honest, it looks awesome to be able to call yourself a doctor. But would it feel so good that you're willing to consider slogging it out for 4 years full time on your PhD? Like, you genuinely have to be passionate about your subject matter, otherwise this just doesn't work. My second question is, what will I have to give up in order to do this? Again, whether it's online, whether it's in person, whether it's part-time, whether it's full-time, especially if it's a PhD, studying is a big commitment, especially if you're a high achiever and you want to actually do well at it and be fully engaged and actually be learning, not just superficially taking in information, but fully absorbing what you're doing. It is a big commitment, and in some cases it will be worth it. Really try and forecast 5 years, 10 years down the track and think about how this will change things for you and how you're going to actually apply it, because you are going to have to give up things, whether it's a lot of your weekends. I can't count how many weekends, the entire weekend just working on my assignments. It might be your social life, it might be you have to cut down your hours at work, it might mean less time spent with your family if you have kids. Something's got to give. You can't give 100% to everything. But that's one of the reasons that it's so important that it's coming from something other than your ego, because it's not always going to be easy and it's not always going to be convenient to study. So you really need to make sure it's worthwhile. Talk to people who have done your degree or similar degrees and try to get a sense for what the lifestyle of someone studying that is for, like not the amount of hours that your tutors say that you're going to have to dedicate each week, because I don't think that's very accurate, but people have actually lived it. Find out what it actually looks like to study and how many hours you're actually going to have to put in, and weigh up whether that's worth it for you at this particular point in time. That doesn't mean that's a never, but maybe for you right now, it's just not worth the time and effort. Maybe it is, but you just have to be realistic about what it actually takes and see whether you want it badly enough. And then the third question that kind of ties in with this, is there a scrappier way I could do this? Studying a uni or a college degree is not the only way to learn about the things you're interested in. And if you've figured out that, like, right now it's not right for you to commit 1 to 3 years part-time or full-time intensively to study this thing, that doesn't mean that you can't pursue it in some way. There are so many amazing accessible ways to get access to high quality education. If you have a budget of $10 a month, there's LinkedIn Learning, there's Creative Live. If you have a budget of $1,000 upfront, Section 4 is an amazing website that have like intensive sprints on so many different subjects, from like business strategy to product marketing. Another great one in that area is called CXL. Most of these ones that I've just mentioned will give you actual certificates. So if you do want that credibility, you want to show that you've upskilled in this area, you can get that through that, but you don't have to commit to studying at uni for years. Otherwise, here in Australia, we have TAFE, which is like a public education system, and a lot of them you can get covered by the government, especially if your income is under a certain threshold. They have lots of short courses or courses that are a few months to upskill on pretty much anything that you could think of. And otherwise, there are so many online courses out there. There is really no excuse not to pursue the things that you're interested in, because there are so many accessible ways you can do that in a way that allows you to just learn enough that you can move forward. I am a huge proponent of that. I don't believe you need to do a deep dive on everything. You don't need to do a full degree on everything you're interested in. You can just dip your toe in the water and learn enough for you to move forward. So I would really think about, is there a scrappier, quicker way that I can learn about this? Do I really need to go all in with it? Or can I get what I need in a more accessible education environment? So those are the three questions that I would definitely consider asking yourself if you are considering going back to studying after a long time off, if you're studying at the moment or thinking about doing another degree or changing degrees. The three questions I would ask are, is this coming from my ego or my brain? What will I have to give up in order to do this? And is there a scrappier way I could do it? I hope you found this helpful, no matter where you are on your tertiary education journey. And I also want to say that if you're a ADHD or neurodivergent person and you just tend to get excited about a lot of different ideas or changing your life, I would have a think about whether there's a different way you can fulfill that need. Like whether it's you're just a bit bored of your career, but that doesn't necessarily mean you want to like completely reinvent the wheel. Maybe it's time to just explore adding some different income streams that use your skills in a different way. And if that sounds like you, I would highly recommend grabbing my free Extraordinary Empire Guide. It's all about building a portfolio career, which is where you have a really varied career with lots of different income streams. And it has more than 50 different ideas of income streams you might explore, plus practical tips you can take on board to start taking action building your extraordinary empire today. So I will leave a link for that in the show notes. As I said, it's completely free, and yeah, I recommend checking that out. If you're feeling a bit bored, you're in a bit of a rut, that might be the missing piece of the puzzle for you. As always, I hope you have a lovely rest of your week, and I will be back in your ears next time.